Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Kitchen Closets 123, the Radio Show. I'm Biff Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi. This is Laura Chica from Michigan.
Yes, how's everybody doing? I hope everybody's fine and taking care of themselves. We're going to have a crowded talk tonight. We'll have a lot of topics to cover and discuss. We'd love to hear from you. 515-605-9802 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you. And, you know, whatever political topic you want to talk about, whatever pop culture thing that's happening, like Will Smith slapping the bejesus out of Chris Rock. I'm too tired of that topic. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You know, enough already. Yeah. There are important things to talk about. But hey, if you want to talk about that, let's talk about that, though. Well, the main thing is politics. So, what's up? What's on the agenda tonight, Lori?
Well, I thought we'd talk about the midterms and how elections do matter. Our democracy is at stake, as we all know. I just wanted to read a little bit about the GOP platform. And this is, it's actually kind of funny. It's kind of ridiculous. And how real it is, I don't know, but you'll listen to it and you'll hear. And you'll make your own decision. Increase on 50 million, including the middle class and the most vulnerable. They want to impeach Biden. They want to investigate Hunter Biden. They want to jail Fauci. They want to dismantle the January 6th committee. They want to investigate Hillary Clinton again. They want to reinstate Marjorie Taylor Greene and Gozar's committees. And, of course, they want to make Jim Jordan speaker. That was the funniest one of all.
Yeah, yeah.
So there you have it.
I mean, they're living la-la land.
That's America great again.
They live in la-la land. I don't know. These Republicans are stuck back in the 1930s when Herbert Hoover was president, or the late 20s, you know. They're going old school racism, and I mean they're so far right and fringe. It's ridiculous. It's crazy, man. I don't know how people vote for Republicans. I don't know how people even can stand them. You know, they're so. I'm lost for words, really. I don't know how to like put in words what the Republican Party has become. This is not the Republican Party, your grandfather or your father, whoever. This is like, they call it fascist Republican Party. So far right that I think Hitler would blush. That's how bad they've become.
Yeah. Do you think the Tea Party, remember the Tea Party? And we used to talk about John Boehner and the Tea Party. Remember, former Speaker of the House there. Do you think that this is like a fringe of it, but they have gotten so radical now? And that's maybe where it all began?
Yes, and even before that, you know, from the 1950s right till current day, first I had the John Birch Society, where Fred Quirk, the father of Charles and David Quirk, sponsored you know, GOP candidates around the country. He was so anti-JFK, you know, and it just mushroomed into, like, this madness. You had Barry Goldwater, who's a decent guy, but also a right-wing, dare I say not, you know. And it just spiraled from there. It came to a head with the election of Ronald Reagan in 1980. And then ever since then, you know, it's just been going to hell. In a handbasket.
Yeah, to say the least. you know. And Rick Scott, he has a brilliant plan for 2022. Do you want to hear a couple things?
Oh, sure, yes.
But there's 11 points, 11 parts to it, or 11 points to it. But there is no way that I could, I can't. I just can't do it. But these are a couple of the things. And, of course, once again, it's raise taxes on the poor and working Americans. They want to end Social Security plans.
Yeah, you see, the trend to end it, no, because they can't privatize it. People have smartened up to, you know, their collective BS, you know. And
exactly.
You know, people just tired of, like, you know, the government taking out their Social Securities for unjust wars, like Iraq, you know. We were lied to going into Iraq saying, oh, weapons of mass destruction. Oh, let's get Saddam. I mean, Saddam was a real prick. But, you know, what was the after plan? There was no after plan. There's no,
no
future planning to say, okay, we'll pull out. What will happen to the people of Iraq and how will the government work? You know, it's just like the military industrial complex, control these people on Capitol Hill. Some of them on both sides. You have the big tobacco, you have big oil, you have the different interest groups that pump money, and they write these laws. And some of the politicians who vote in these laws, because they're sponsored by these big interest groups, they don't read what's in this law, but they vote yes for it, you know? And it's just shameful. This is what our politics has become, and this is why a lot of people I'm like, okay, enough of politics. I don't want to hear about Democrats, Republicans. I'm an independent, blah, blah, blah. You know, and it's sad, really, because in Australia, for example, there's a law in the books that says everybody of voting age has to register and vote on election day. If you don't, you get a hefty fine. What do you think about America doing something like that, passing such a law?
Well, it wouldn't go over big here, but I would. What I would like to see is for Election Day to be a national holiday. That would be a start, you know.
Yeah, so you have no excuse. So, oh, geez, I was working. Or,
exactly. I have to work. You know, a lot of people do, though. You know, they maybe work a midnight shift and then they sleep. They don't want, can't get up, or they don't want to get up. They're tired. You know, they it's. And they've moved a lot of the polling places and where you can vote. And, you know, they're making it harder every day. Mail-in voting would be the best thing in the world. We know that for everybody. But, you know, the Republicans will cheat if they can. But I still believe in mail-in voting. Another thing that, going back to Rick Scott just for a minute, I just have a couple more things. But his plan will also... you know, help it's not going to help green energy. It's going to promote more pollution, corporate profits, and, you know, and the billionaires will keep on making their money, and they're not going to pay any tax. That's just how it'll go. And he also said that he believes all Americans should pay income tax, even if it's a dollar, because as he was quoted, he said that everyone should have skin in the game. Where's his skin? I bet you he doesn't pay any tax.
Yeah,
and
well,
also,
you have to remember that Rick Scott. Remember, you know, you have to remember that Rick Scott, the former governor of Florida, now current U.S. Senator, junior senator from Florida, he robbed Medicaid and stole billions of dollars.
And he's not in prison.
He's supposed to go to prison.
And he's not in prison.
Yeah. Why? Because the good people of Florida elected him governor. The rest is history.
I know.
I don't know.
I know.
Florida is like the redheaded stepchild of America, really. You know?
They,
I mean, nobody can understand Florida. Florida, everything backward. I used to live there. It was dreadful.
I know. I know you did. I know. It's pretty red in Florida. Unless you're down by, you know, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Broward County. You know, in South Florida, it's more of a, it's more blue, but the more north you go, the worse it is, you know. And it's just so sad, you know, and they're also considering to get rid of programs like Medicaid and, of course, Medicare. I said that. And they are also, you know, and those are the plans to keep the poor and the elderly alive. they don't care. They do not care. To go a little bit farther, Mitch McConnell came out with a statement saying that he does not support any of that. But do you believe Mitch McConnell?
No, he is a wing nut. And he's been in there since 1982. And he was one of the poorest members of Congress when he went in. But now he's a second or third witness. You know, how does that happen? You're a public servant, you know. You get X amount of money per year. You have traveling expenses, living expenses, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And how is he one of the richest members? I mean, things like that. You know, we should close the door, make a law closing the door on every congressperson and every U.S. senator. Close it permanently where after you serve, you know, you can't join a lobby group that pay you millions, you know, because, you know, those lobby groups,
after
when you're
you
a member of Congress.
You said after
after the
how
serve.
How about while
yes.
you serve? What about while you serve?
No, you can't because remember you're, you know, I mean, because remember they're serving. So, you know, close loopholes that say, okay, you know, special interests, certain things can't be done. So when you retire or like voted out of office, you aren't able to join this special interest group that pay millions of dollars, you know, because it's a revolving door. And that's why people stick up politics. Mm-hmm. It's very appalling. Mm-hmm.
It is very appalling.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell me now, do you think Democrats can retain Congress in 2022 or Republicans just too slick?
You know, I've talked about this probably hundreds of times, and I go back to what I've always said. It's all about messaging. It's all about brainwashing, I'm sorry to say, and put it in those blunt terms, but that's what it's about. And if the Democrats do not get their message in unity, a solid message, I don't want to say it's not going to happen because I do see that there are people that are angry right now. They're sick and tired of everything. But the Republican Party, the Republicans in office and the party, they know how to work people. They know how to work them from underneath. They know how to make them think that inflation right now and the gas prices are Biden's fault. And people are dumb enough to or they don't research it. Or they don't look. I'm not sure what they don't do, but presidents do not control gas prices.
Interestingly, you brought that up. Don't forget your point. But listen to this one. Spoke to somebody that day or speaking to somebody, and they're like, oh, you know, Trump was robbed. You know, he is president. You know, and I said, and then I, you know, changed the topic and said, boy, these gas prices really something else, isn't it? So, it's Biden's fault. I was like, oh, so if Trump is president, why do you think it's Biden's fault? You don't think he's president. So, you know, what's the deal, man? You know, contradicting yourself like that.
Well, like I said, it's all the talking points. And these talking points are hammered down every single day. They are hammered down every single day in some weak form, but I'm telling you, it sticks to these people. They're a bunch that they don't do research. They just, I think they're not educated, a lot of them. I hope that I'm right about that part. I'm not sure how we're going to get the message out to people. You know, like President Biden today, he's releasing all that, you know, all the oil, you know, for production of what is it, a million gallons a day. I don't remember, but he's trying. That man is trying every single day. He has got Ukraine to worry about. He's got Russia to worry about. He's got his own people that make him talk back when he's upset. I mean, really? You know, so how do you fight that unless you have a ball piece out there every single day? you know, our
great
secretary is awesome.
Jen Psaki, she has COVID, yeah. She's awesome, yes,
yeah.
Definitely. But, you know, I think to myself that, you know, how do you motivate yourself to go out and participate in voting when gerrymandering happening, where they're redrawing congressional districts to suit themselves, you know, they're changing the rules where you have to have, you know, ID and what have you. And when you go to the polls, stand up in long lines, wait for hours, and they say, oh, no, it's 8 o'clock, voting stop. You know, things like that that try to intimidate you. You know, how do Americans, like, that's why people get fed up and say, okay, you know, to hell with this. This is just a midterm. But every election matter because if the Republicans get in, then we'll suck salt, basically. You know,
no,
because, and God forbid,
what we have right
God
now.
Forbid Trump. God forbid Trump get nominated by the GOP in 2024. You know, when it's all this. Yeah, hopefully. And for God's sake, the Attorney General, you know, why not press charges, something, New York prosecuting office. They've been investigating Trump for years now. They have so much on him. Why don't somebody drop on this bastard? Why?
I ask that question every single day. You know, I was having a conversation the other day, and they have, you know, she said, oh, they have to make sure they dot all the, you know, they dot all the I's and cross all the T's, and it's got to be an airtight case. And, oh, well, geez, I mean, we're going into midterms pretty soon. This has to be done before midterms. I'm sorry. That man is out there every single day saying something. He talked to Putin the other day, didn't he? I mean, not via phone, but, you know, asking him to get dirt on the Biden family.
Yeah, on Hunter Biden.
Out in the open. Mm-hmm. Out in the open. He was able to say it. And nobody stopped him. Nobody.
Yeah, because the Republican Party fear him. The current GOP, they have no testicular fortitude to fear him. You know, and
what can he do to them? Is there something that we are missing that we don't see? Like is there a dot not connected, or is
maybe he have secrets for them? Look on Lindsey Graham, he flip flopped.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Secrets,
you know, maybe they have secrets for
threatened?
Them.
Threatened?
Maybe Trump has and Russia has secrets on them. Like Lindsey Graham, I'm not mistaken about what, but, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we'd go there tonight, but.
No, we won't go there.
No. Feel free to call in America. The number is 515-605-9802. Again, the number, 515-605-9802. Oh, and next week, we're going to try going earlier because we'll have a dynamic candidate coming on. He's from New Mexico. He's 22 years old. His name is Augustine Montayo, and he's running for the 22nd District House seat in New Mexico. So I hope you tune in, listen, spread the word, because this guy is a dynamic guy. He is a graduate from the University of New Mexico. He's just awesome, and I can't wait to have him on the show. And coming up in the week, we're going to meet in person, have a talk, and, you know, see how his campaign is going. So make sure you press the follow button and reminder button. So when that show is on, you could call him, no matter where you're from. He needs money. Go to his website and donate, because he's a real good Democrat. He's a real good guy, and he can win this. It's a predominantly Republican seat, but he can win the seat.
I hope so. The more blue, the better.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and if you're running,
go ahead.
Yeah, and if you're running for Congress or governor or U.S. senator or even lower down on a state level, you know, call us, email us, set up something where we can have you on, talk about your campaign, give your website, people donate. You know, we invite Republicans to be on the show, but of course, sir. I don't know what they're scared of, you know, with all bites, hard, but, you know, they never show up. So, yeah, we're thinking about it. No, well, you know, just show up, huh? You know, are you that chicken shit that you can't show up? Are you that scared?
Yeah.
You
know? Mm-hmm. You know, the other thing that I wanted to just touch base on a little bit was Generation Gen Z, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about the midterms, and a lot of them will be first-time voters, you know, and
mm-hmm.
If you can't stomach the GOP anymore, we should start to prop these young people up.
Mm-hmm.
Then they will, you know, we have to get them to vote blue in 22. So we need to
mm-hmm.
focus on them, you know, in mass.
Mm-hmm.
Gen Z is expected to make up 20% of the population by the end of 2022. 68.2
mm-hmm.
million tweens, teens, and young adults. As of July 2020, more than 15 million Gen Zs have turned 18. 15 million,
mm-hmm.
think about that.
Mm-hmm.
They are the youngest eligible voters. They're active, they're engaged,
mm-hmm.
they're in
mm-hmm.
civil life, and they are diverse. We have to
mm-hmm.
remember that. They accept
mm-hmm.
everyone. They don't look at
mm-hmm.
color, they don't look at gender, they don't look at any of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really important. We need them in 22. So how
yeah.
do we engage them? How do we get them excited about
mm-hmm.
voting for the first time? And
mm-hmm.
because a lot of what the Democratic mm-hmm. Party is about is for them, you know, it's
mm-hmm.
all about them and their futures.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. And Augustine Montoya, he'll be on next
mm-hmm.
week. He's a Generation Z person. He's
yes,
22
he
years old. He's the youngest
yes.
ever person to run for state office
that's,
in the state of New Mexico.
That's my point.
You know, he's a
yeah.
likable chap. He has good ideas.
Mm-hmm.
He's young, energetic.
Mm-hmm.
Free thinker,
mm-hmm.
Inclusive, you know, not because you may be a Republican, he wouldn't want to work with you. That's what politics is about, compromise and hearing my side of the argument, hearing your side, or come to an agreement to move America forward, to move New Mexico,
mm-hmm.
Michigan, wherever you're from, forward. You know, and a lot of these Republicans are into Trumpism and not into that. They're saying
mm-hmm.
either my way or the highway. And that's not progress.
Right.
You know?
No.
And I don't know why people vote for these people. You know, these monsters, these idiots, like Jim Jordan in Ohio. Who the hell would vote for that moron? You know?
Yeah.
Trump.
Well, yeah.
McConnell.
Yeah.
The crazy lady in Colorado, District 3. Bobert.
The list is long.
Endless.
Yeah,
it drives me crazy. I can't fathom the thinking of some people, you know?
I know.
And according to statistics, by 2050, the United States will become a minority-majority country where,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not going to be an all-white majority. So they're trying to hold on to power by having voter laws change,
mm-hmm.
Gerrymandered districts. They're doing everything to push America back to the 50s.
I know.
And
look
it's not going to work.
Yeah, no. Look at DeSantis in Florida. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that man is cracked a nut in his head because, you know, they passed that don't say gay in Florida. I mean,
mm-hmm.
what is that about? I mean, honestly and truly, I mean, we are in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
These kids don't care. I mean, they really don't care. It's just a
mm-hmm.
different... It's a different mindset that's coming up in these
uh-huh.
generations. It's a different mindset. They don't care. They accept
mm-hmm.
everybody. And that's
exactly
that's what we have to show them. That's why I think the Democrats have to show them that they can fit under
mm-hmm.
our umbrella. We have to give them reasons to fit under the umbrella.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think with DeSantis, for example, he's catering to his Christian conservative base.
I don't know what he's doing. He's crazy.
Yeah, I used to live there for years. And,
I know.
You know, he pushed America back to the 20s where, you know, the white person was on top, everybody else was way below.
Mm-hmm.
If you try to come up, they tramp you down. So how dare you stay down there where you belong? People like Rick Scott, the next senator from Florida, what's his name? Marco Rubio, who may run for president again in 2024. That's a joke right now. You know, Val Demings is supposed to run for the Democratic nomination, supposedly, to run against Marco Rubio in 2024. Good luck to her. I hope she'll whoop his ass because we need to get Republicans out. We need to get them out. They're dangerous for America and dangerous for the world. They cater to the military-industrial complex, the prison-industrial complex, big tobacco, big oil, big pharma. Enough is enough.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying some Democrats not with those interest groups, you know, but at least we have, you know, what's the word for it? We have a conscience to say, hey, we should put people first. This is what America is about, moving forward, helping the collective, not just special interests and corporations and certain individuals. We can do better than this, and we will do better than this. And hopefully, Democrats put a cohesive message together for the 2022 election because we have to win it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Oh, yes. You know, here in Michigan, we have, you know, our Gretchen Whitmer, she's been a great governor. She's been strong. She did great during COVID. You know, Michigan has the number one economy in the country. She was tough when she needed to be tough, and she took a lot of criticism. DeVos is after her like there's no tomorrow. She's got so much dark money that she's pumping into the Republican Party now. You know, it's sickening.
And even her own money.
We shall see what happens.
And even her own money, Betsy DeVos and Dick DeVos are some of the richest people in America. Speaking of good governors, my governor in New Mexico, Michelle Grisham, she's doing an excellent job. I think she's up for election this year. I'm not sure, but I can see it's going to be in the bag because, you know, she's liked in New Mexico. She's doing a great job, you know, and this is a blue state. And there's only certain places, that have, like, Cowboys for Trump, you know, in New Mexico, which,
well,
you know, they're a laughing stock, basically.
Yeah. It's just like in every state, like here in Michigan, you know, we were always a blue state, an industrial state, you know. But since the Orange Monster came about with his brainwash, you know, you go a little bit north, just like in Florida, and it's a little red, you know, it's more red. Even in my county where I live, in my township, I should say, it used to be blue, and there were a lot of Trump signs around during the election, and I just couldn't understand it because what did he do for anybody? Nothing. He didn't do anything for anybody. I don't understand. No, that's all. Did he do anything though? You know,
no.
Did anything come true? No.
No.
You know, at least President Biden is trying to put his, you know, his words where his mouth is. He's trying to put the work out. He's, you know, got so much on. I don't even call it a plate anymore. I call it a platter because I don't know how his head doesn't spin, you know. And maybe it does. I don't know. But he's doing a great job as far as I'm concerned. So as far as, you know, Gen Z, we have to find a way to connect with them, get them to the polls on the issues that are going to matter to them. Like, I think abortion would be one. They're trying to, you know, roll back, you know.
Kill Roe versus Wade.
They
have in Texas,
my
neighboring Texas.
Yes, they have.
You know,
so what I'm trying to say is that, you know, if you're 18, 20, between 18 and even younger, for God's sakes, and something happens to you, or voluntarily or not voluntarily, it's your right to do what you want with your body as a woman. That's how I feel. I've always felt that way. I've had arguments about it, but I won't change my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Not my business.
And it was back in the 60s and 70s where you have court-hanger abortions because there's no place for women to go. You know, because Planned Parenthood is a good thing, good organization. That, you know, just a minuscule amount of their resources is for abortion. Everything else is about family planning, and, you know, and so the Republicans make it so that they twist things so badly that people are like, oh my
God,
you know.
They make it sound like it's just an abortion clinic. That's all people
like,
go there for. It's all
like
women go
like
there for.
Like you can't go there in 9 months instead of having the baby, you have an abortion at 9 months. That's so ludicrous and stupid. Why would anybody believe that? Why?
Yeah, well, they do.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have 30 minutes left, 28 minutes left. Remember to call in, guest call in, 515-605-9802. That's 515-605-9802. We'd love to hear from you. Don't be shy. You know, we're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. We love to hear from everybody, whether Democrat, Republican, Independent, Labor, Green. You know, don't be shy, call in. Because the last time we had the show a couple of years ago, you know, we got bombarded with calls left, right, and center.
Mm-hmm.
So we restarted from last week. We rebooted it. You know, it may take a little time, but I'm sure people listening, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So call in. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And I, you know, that we have to get the times correct as well. So, and we will, because that's been a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah,
so,
the daylight saving times falls off.
Yeah, this just got, it's been a little bit of a challenge, but we'll work it out. And like I said, I am going to focus in my Macomb County group, trying to convince them that Gen Z got to be our focus. Get them registered to vote and get them excited about going to the polls and telling them what they're going to miss and what they're up against.
Guess what? We'll have a call. We'll have a call from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Lynn, calling from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, excellent.
Good.
Excellent.
How are you?
I'm good. I was listening to you call in or listening to your show and talking about abortion, which I can't believe after all this time we're still talking about. I mean, it was 1973 somewhere when they finally passed it. I know I was raped and got pregnant when I was in college in Massachusetts and had to go to New York to have an abortion because Roe v. Wade hadn't passed, which was a nice clinic and stuff, and it turns out, you know, we had a car and the money to go, but I know a lot of people didn't. It just, you know, it just doesn't make sense. Women have stopped dying from abortions once they got legal and went in, and they manufactured so many ridiculous reasons. I mean, they say, oh, well, if a clinic doesn't have a width wide enough for a gurney to pass another gurney, then they can't do abortions. Well, there's no gurney. You walk in, you get on the table. Back then, even it was vacuum aspiration. 98% of them now are take a pill. You take a pill, take this one home, take it 2 days later, it's a done deal. You know, the people act like they have to, you know, fillet you open and do major abdominal surgery. Even if they're doing the surgical type, it goes in the same way the baby got in there, or the fetus, or the sperms, whatever. There's no surgery involved in this. It's ridiculous. And they're just, and they're, now they're even outlawing mailing the morning after pills. They're working on, you can't get the medical abortion, the chemical abortion thing. It's just, it's just ridiculous. They want to make sure that women are tied down too much to listen to what's going on in the world and fight against them. And I really do think it's about women. It's not about babies at all.
It's about
it's
keeping
about
women down and
people
in their place. And down and in their place. And that's not going to happen.
Yes. You know, my feeling on this as a man, I don't have a uterus, so I shouldn't have any say in if a woman should have an abortion or not. I mean, if you have sex with a woman and you knock her up, it's between you and her, but finally the ultimate decision is hers because it's her body. You know, be a man and take care of that baby. You know, don't be
unless
you know.
Unless you can figure out a way to carry it yourself, then you really do need to shut up about it because it's not your body that's being, and then people will just have it and give it up for adoption. You know what? That might work if you're having beautiful, white, healthy babies and there's no crack addiction or whatever, but there's thousands and thousands and thousands of kids out there that need families. You know, there's 40,000 in Albuquerque alone that could use someone to adopt them. Do that. Adopt a few before you tell me that there shouldn't be any abortion. You know, I've done that a number of times. Even here, I go right past the Planned Parenthood place, and there's often people picketing out there with their stupid signs and stuff. And every now and then I pull over and say, let me ask you a question. How many unwanted children have you adopted? Most of them don't answer you. Those who do, oh, well,
I had my own children.
Yeah, so we'll talk to me when you do, because there's thousands of kids who already exist, who already know they're not wanted. Do something about them before you worry about a cell cluster in somebody else's body, because it's ridiculous. It's not about the babies at all. It's about telling women their place.
And not only that, you know, if they're forced to have this child, especially if they were raped or incest, and they're forced to have the child, you know, that child is going to grow up wanting to know their parent, their father, et cetera. And how, you know, the story is traumatic. So,
yeah, and how do you raise a child if he grows up looking like his father? When every time you look at him, you remember this rape.
That's what I'm trying to say.
How do you love and care about this child when all of this is a horrible, horrible memory?
When it was trauma for you to begin with.
Yeah. This is not a loved, beautiful baby. This is something, you know, most of the time you can't afford. Most of the women that have abortions already have other kids. All she knows is this is one more person to split the food with, and it barely goes around now. It just isn't workable. And they say, oh, well, the father will pay. Yeah, right. You find him.
Ladies, I want to ask that question. Marsha Blackburn last week in the confirmation hearings of Brown Jackson, the judge, the Supreme Court, asked her this ridiculous question. What do you think a woman is? What do you think about, you know, Marsha Blackburn?
She was just being ridiculous. And I think she knew she was being ridiculous. And, you know,
and she was trying to trap her into saying something.
She was just trying
to
trip her up, and she didn't get to trip her up because she told her she wasn't a biologist. That was the perfect answer. So that was the end of that.
Because if
she
said,
she
you know, with a female body, then she's got a problem with transsexuals. And if she says it's anybody who thinks they're a woman, then she's got all these other things she can bring up. It's just, it was a trap. And she was smart enough to just sidestep the whole thing and say, nope, not my problem.
Yes, yes. So election coming up in November.
Someone who uses a lot of hairspray.
Okay, so are you still there, Lynn?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes. So I'm saying election coming up in November 2024. Do you think Democrats could retain the House and the Senate? What's your thought on that?
I think if we get our butts in gear, because we do outnumber them, we just tend to get complacent. Or we think, oh, you know, it'll happen. I mean, that's kind of what happened to Hillary. Everybody thought, there's no way this person's going to win. I don't have to go vote. She's got the, you know, and all the polls said she was ahead. And then it all blew up in her face, and those of us watching the election sat there and cried for 3 days. It was just, you know, it was just an unimaginable thing that actually happened. If we get out and vote, we can take it easy. We just need to do that. And I don't know what you got to do to motivate Democrats. I would think fighting against Trump would be more than enough, but who knows?
And the thing about it, every midterm election, Democratic voters would just stay home or find whatever reason to say, oh, Jesus, just the midterms. But Republicans,
yeah,
come hail or snow or, you know, strong wind or hurricane, they'll find themselves at a poll voting.
Well, and they make a point of making sure that the polls are accessible for their neighborhoods, but not for the black neighborhoods or the Hispanic neighborhoods, or there's no bus service, or, you know, they make sure that the mail-in thing that works and makes it really easy for older people. It makes it easy for people who have to go to school, who work two jobs trying to feed their families. They do do everything they can to make it hard for those people to vote. And I think that's where we really need to start standing up and saying, everybody gets a fair shot at this. And I like Obama's plan to make voting day a day off, you know, unless you're a cop or a, and this whole crap in Florida where they're trying to do, where they're going to have special voting police, which is just a way of saying intimidate the hell out of people.
Yeah, that's very Gestapo-like. It's very Gestapo-like.
That's what it's meant to be, is to say, hey, you know, we're going to be looking hard at you. What's your name? Show me some ID. That's bullshit. Just line up and do it. You know, I've worked as a poll worker. I know what you have to go to, and you don't need a an ID. All the information's there. If they know that information, odds are that's them, you know? It's like when you go to pay a bill on the phone, they always want to make sure it's you. And I'm like, hey, if somebody's calling to pay my bills, by all means, let them. You know, I don't have a problem with that.
Right.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about...
We go out of our way to make it harder.
I want to ask you about this organization that's across the country, Mothers for Gun Safety. Am I saying it right?
Moms Demand Action? Is that the one you're talking about?
Yes, Moms Demand Action.
For gun safety in America, what about it?
No, well, you're a member of that and everything, you know, so you could tell people listening about that organization.
Well, it came up after, there's been so many school shootings, I can't even think of the name of it, Sandy Hook, when all those little kids were killed, and, you know, moms were just, you know, their blood was chilled watching this, and all these people, thoughts and prayers. Like, that fixes a damn thing. They still do nothing to change the access to assault weapons, which is what this guy had. And he was mad at his mom, and he took out all these little kids in addition to it. And Moms Demand Action was formed the very next day from a mother who said, we got to do something, I guess. And she just put it on her Facebook page, and by night she had 3,000 people, and she made it nationwide. And, you know, within days she had people all over the entire country. And Mayor Bloomberg of New York called her and said, where you been? We've been waiting for you people. You know, we've got the mayors against gun violence, and they merged them together and formed the Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America, which is part of every town. And they've done amazing stuff, and it's gone nationwide. In fact, some places it's gone into Canada and Mexico. But it's an important group. Unfortunately, we still have to fight that whole, it's my right to have a gun bullshit. And no, show me what organized religion or organized militia you're in, and we'll talk. Because as far as I know, that's the Army, the Air Force, the Navy, the Marines, the Coast Guard. You know, those people are an organized militia, because you came up with $50 and bought a gun doesn't make you one.
Exactly. My thoughts on this is people who are part of militia, they want to play G.I. Joe. The Cold War is over, they're bored, they have tons of guns. I lived in Florida, a co-worker of mine had over 500 guns. That's why his wife left. You know?
Why?
And why would one person need 500 goddamn guns for? Why? You expecting World War III, dude? You know,
unless you're invading Costa Rica in the morning with 499 friends, you don't need that.
Exactly.
And nobody goes hunting with an AR rifle. You know, you don't go blow a deer away and then pick chunks of them out of the tree. The object is to kill it quickly without damaging the meat, because supposedly you're hunting for meat. It's just, it makes no sense. It's a weapon of war.
And some people claiming, oh, I have to defend my home. Suppose somebody break in. Well, you need an AR AR-15 or AK-47.
Yeah.
You know, that's
of them came for you all at once. Yeah, not happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless you're going to hunt every elephant or rhino on the planet all in one day, which also makes no sense because it costs a fortune to get them all in the same place because there aren't many left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the whole thing is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 68 years old, and I've even been held at gunpoint, both at work and at home, and I've been threatened, and I've never needed a gun. If I'd had a gun, things would have escalated, and one or the other of us would be dead and the other one in prison, which is not how I want my life to go. I don't see where it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I've lived in Los Angeles. I've lived in San Jose. I've lived in Minnesota. I've lived in Massachusetts. I've lived in Florida. I've lived in Arizona. I've lived in Phoenix. I've lived in New Mexico. Never once needed a gun to protect myself. I have a dog, and they tell me if somebody's coming, well, you make sure the doors are locked and you call for help, but you don't need it. It's ridiculous.
Yes.
More people
yes.
are killed with their own guns than are ever killed by bad guys with guns.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole good guy with a gun theory is bullshit.
Exactly. Yes, man. Exactly. Hey, so Lori, do you have any questions for Carla Lynn? You know?
No, I don't have any questions. I just want to kind of move on.
Okay.
I need to get back to making some dinner.
Continue.
So.
All right. Thank you so much for calling in, Lynn. Call back again next time. Bye. That was Lynn from Albuquerque, New Mexico. The topic tonight, no, it's not the time for silence in America. And the number to call, 515-605-9802. We'd love to hear from you. We're talking politics, talking pop culture. Okay, so we have 12 minutes left. To close out, what do you think about Will Smith versus Chris Rock incident that happened at the Oscar Awards? What's your take?
I was over it the night it happened. It was ridiculous. And Will Smith should have thought about what he was doing, and they're still talking about it today. You know, we have Ukraine going on. We have so many other things going on, and they're talking about his life on the face. And, you know, Chris Rock is not going to press charges, and that's where it should end right there.
My take on it really is, okay, it happened. It was unfortunate that it happened. Chris Rock's career has taken flight because of it. Great. You know, what Will Smith should have done is keep his composure, keep his cool, and then I'll have a word with him afterwards. I think it was a real classy thing going up there.
That would have been a classy thing to do.
Yes. And when he won the award, he could educate the listeners and viewers about what alopecia is, you know, not just lose his cool. I mean, he's human, yeah. That's his wife, but we're not even going to talk about her.
I don't think Chris Rock knew that was something, her condition. So, if he did know that, then that's a whole different conversation. But I don't think Chris Rock knew. You know, he's a comedian. He was just goofing around. She'd been wearing her hair like that for a long time, or, you know, being in that style. And she looks good. She looks attractive. And, you know, I think, well, just like you said, I think Will Smith should have just had a little more class and waited till afterwards and had a word with him later. And that would have been
Yes. Yeah, because since 2016, they have been having like a rift, you know, when he made a joke about his wife. I mean, everybody made a joke about Jada Pinkett Smith. Nobody's perfect, but then again, they have the red table talk, and they talk all their business on it. Is it for ratings? Is it for popularity? I mean, come on, you have to like, and when people criticize you and make jokes about you and make fun about you, you get upset. You know what I mean? The common territory of being famous. You know, is it right? Not necessarily. But you put things out there for people to hear and draw their own conclusions and make fun. You know, so, you know, that should, you know, tone it down a little bit. I mean, that's a weird dynamic, that marriage.
I don't know anything about them.
Yeah,
we
I mean, hey,
what
happened to you, what you're doing? Knock yourself out, but, you know, you don't have to overshare. Okay, so now next week we'll have Augustine Montoya. He's running for District 22 in the State House in New Mexico. We look forward to having him on the show. We're going to have a 90-minute show especially for him. And go to his website and, you know, donate to him. Look him up on Facebook. He's a really good guy. 22 years old. He's a Generation Z, a Gen Z. You were talking about Gen Z earlier. You know, he has a lot to offer. I think he'll win. Yeah. So any final thoughts? We'll have a little under 10 minutes left.
Well, there's 7 hours of phone logs missing at the White House on January the 6th.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Meaning he pulled a Richard Nixon. This is so smack the Nixonian politics. That's not funny.
Yeah.
You know, how can you have 7 hours of, you know, tapes, you know, missing? You know, they use burner phones. And Trump claims, Trump claims that, you know, oh, he doesn't know what a burner phone is. Somebody who worked in the White House under Trump said he knew exactly what a burner phone is. So, again, Trump doing what Trump does best, lie. You know, and the January 6th committee will get to the bottom of this. And for God's sake, I hope the Attorney General and the New York Prosecuting Office charge them with something, both Trump, his three children, and those who, you know, helped him in all this, you know, this corruption. People need to go to prison. They need to be made examples of, because nobody's above the law. Not even Richard Nixon was above the law. So, you know, it's people are sick and tired of it and saying, oh, you know, we should, move on.
Every day they throw out a little tidbit, like, you know, like something's going to happen and nothing happens. It's been 14 months of this everyday stuff. And everyone's tired of it, you know. So the AG has to, you know, make a decision eventually. I know, like I said, I know it's, he's got to make it airtight and, and there's going to be a lot coming at him, you know, probably threats and everything else. You better believe it. And it is frustrating, yes.
Yes. So what are your thoughts on repatriation? Because if you notice that Prince William and Kate Middleton went to the Caribbean and had a tour of Bahamas, Jamaica, and a couple other places, and they were met with a lot of, you know, blowback in Jamaica especially, you know, where people
that
want repatriation, want to be an independent from Britain and not be part of the Commonwealth. But in the context of America, do you think that black people and minority deserve repatriation?
I can't answer that question because I don't know enough about it. It's possible that they do. I'd have to hear both sides of it. I don't see why not. They have been oppressed and things have been taken away. Absolutely. What is your take, David? You know more about it
my
than I do. I know
is,
you do.
My take on it is not necessarily money, because there's no amount of money that can repair the damage of slavery and, you know, being abusive and owning people. Nobody have that right or shouldn't have that right. What they could do is strengthen affirmative action. That could strengthen the welfare state, meaning there are have a netting for poor people. You know, when people like Reagan and Bush and whoever say, "Oh, pull yourselves by the bootstraps," you know, you didn't build that by yourself. It's people who help grow your business. You know,
absolutely.
You know, we all have a station in life, or we try to climb up the economic ladder. We can't do it by ourselves. You know, so we need to strengthen certain programs and infrastructure, and racism that Angry Soccer Mom talked about in her podcast on YouTube. Look it up, people. Angry Soccer Mom, she's in New York, upstate New York. You know, the systemic racism happening in America going on right now, and
it's
you know,
going on badly,
Yeah, they're protesting about critical race theory. And the only place that is teaching critical race theory is if you're in law school, you know, nowhere else. But they don't want to teach history in public schools because they're trying to whitewash American history with regards to slavery, and that shouldn't be. We ask a regular Republican, hey, what's for critical race theory? They have no idea. You know, mm-hmm. So we need to have this discussion. No. And stop beating around the bush and trying to whitewash things.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll thank Lynn for calling earlier. And today is the Trans Awareness Day. So all trans people, you know, happy Trans Day. You know, and, you know, be who you be.
That has to be a difficult life. I think about it, and it's got to be they have to be strong people. I have to say that. And yes, I hope they do have a happy life and a happy day.
Because everybody deserves to be happy. Nobody is perfect, and nobody have a right to judge anybody.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we thank everybody for listening, sharing, liking on Facebook. We love you all and appreciate you. And make sure that you join us next week. We have a special guest. He's running for House District 22. His name is Augustine Montoya. Till next week, 9 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific. This is Kitchen Politics 123. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Lori Pickin, Michigan. Have a good night.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. Thank you for joining, listening, sharing, liking.
La 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 la.